coming up on KSCP News, an Alaska's clinic welcomes new technology, and the discussion continues over potential emperor goose hunt. Stay tuned. Good afternoon. You're listening to KSDP 830 AM Sandpoint. I'm Marissa Williams with some local news on Tuesday, August 30th, 2016. Candidates have until Friday to declare they're running for local office in the Aleutians East Borough, the City of Sandpoint, and the City of King Cove. With city elections set for October 4th, three seats are up on both the Aleutians East Borough Assembly and School Board. Meanwhile, the assemblies in Sandpoint and King Cove each have two seats on the ballot. For more information on how to declare candidacy, visit your local city hall. The deadline is this Friday, September 2nd. Unalaska's clinic will soon become the first community health center in Alaska with an EICU. That's an electronic intensive care unit, a type of telemedicine technology that'll connect healthcare providers at Illyukuk Family and Health Services with specialists in Anchorage. Officially, the local clinic is a community health center, meaning it's only supposed to provide primary care for some urgent care. But the reality is a little different. With Unalaska's isolated location and unpredictable weather, the clinic often has to provide emergency care for patients that can't get off the island. Patients who are suffering from cardiac or respiratory problems, infections or strokes, even traumatic injuries. The problem is the clinic doesn't have an emergency physician, but that's where the EICU comes in. While patients are in Unalaska, their vitals will be sent directly to Providence Alaska Medical Center in Anchorage. Providence ICU staff will work side by side with local providers to treat patients in real time. And the technology even includes video monitoring, so doctors and nurses can see exactly what's going on from 800 miles away. According to Medical Director Ann Nora Earhart, that means better care for patients until it's safe to move them off the island.
For us, this is about, you know, having that expert right there, accessible, whether it be the level of an intensive care nurse or if we need the level of an intensive care doctor.
Arrett says the EICU will also benefit Unalaska's providers, who can breathe easier knowing they have the resources of a bigger hospital behind them.
We tend to, as rural practitioners, have a lot more comfort with collaboration. So I see this as part of the team approach to our patients that are presenting to us 24/7 with critical care needs.
At nearly $100,000, Unalaska's EICU was funded by a federal grant. But former clinic director Eileen Conlin Scott says the program could start a trend for other community health centers in rural Alaska.
We have other CHCs that are very interested in this. As soon as we're up and running, there'll be a few people flying in that want to see it because there is an interest for them as well. They are just as rural.
The clinic is finishing setting up the EICU now. The system should go online in mid-September. The Alaska Migratory Bird Co-Management Council is meeting this week in Anchorage, and in addition to planning for the 2018 season, the council is set to discuss the much-anticipated subsistence hut for emperor geese, most of which migrate between the Aleutian Islands and the Yukon-Kuskokwim Delta. Conservation conserves have closed the hunt since the 1980s. But new survey data indicates the emperor goose population has rebounded, and the Pacific Flyway Council has proposed reopening the hunt this April. That's if their management strategy clears the necessary regulatory hurdles. The councils are still working out the specifics of that management strategy, the season's length, bag limits, and so forth. The Alaska Migratory Bird Crow Management Council will meet tomorrow and Thursday at the Aleutian Pribilof Islands Association in Anchorage. The public can also join the meeting by teleconference. For more information and the meeting's agenda, visit fws.gov. Since leaving on Alaska, the Crystal Serenity cruise ship has followed the Alaska coastline and made its way into the Northwest Passage. So far, there haven't been any problems on its 32-day voyage toward New York City. But as KNOM's Lauren Frost reports, it's the largest vessel to ever travel through the passage, and it's got 1,000 passengers on board. That's got some people worried.
Austin Amasek refers to the Crystal Serenity as a floating city. It certainly contains enough people and produces enough waste. Amasek is a marine advocate at the Koerik Regional Nonprofit Corporation, and he's nervous about what happens when a floating city moves through a delicate region like the Arctic.
We have some very deep felt and heartfelt concerns about what's happening in the Arctic.
Alaska Native communities rely on fish and marine mammals for subsistence. Amasek worries that cruise ships could damage the ecosystem and threaten that subsistence lifestyle. What's more, he doesn't think the cruise industry is listening.
Honestly, I don't know that our concerns are being fully heard. I honestly cannot say that with a straight face.
He's not alone in his misgivings. Marcy Kiever directs the Oceans and Vessels program at an environmental group called Friends of the Earth, and she's worried too.
When a ship like Crystal is going, because of its size, because of the length of time, there's lots of reasons why a ship like that is a big concern.
Friends of the Earth released their latest cruise ship report card in June. The report card grades cruise lines on their commitment to protecting the environment. So what grades did Crystal Cruises get? Sewage treatment? F. Air pollution reduction? F. Transparency? F. It ranked 17th out of 17 cruise lines. Crystal Cruises has spoken out against the report card. So has the Cruise Lines International Association. John Binkley is the president of their Alaska branch. He believes that people should look to the Coast Guard to regulate the industry, not to environmental groups.
And similar to our political parties today, I believe that the Friends of the Earth are trying to divide people really with radical and unfounded claims.
While the Crystal Serenity doesn't meet the standards set by Friends of the Earth, it does comply with all federal regulations. Plus, the ship has pledged to use cleaner fuel while it's in Alaskan waters. Even Marcy Kiever admits that the Crystal Serenity isn't at the heart of the problem.
Our concern is not necessarily just the Serenity. It's the number and size of cruise ships and other ocean-going vessels that are going up over the top of the world.
If the Crystal Serenity successfully completes its voyage, it's likely other large ships will follow. The Serenity already plans to return in 2017. And Kiever points out that if those ships contribute to climate change in the Arctic, then they're making their own passage just a little bit easier. Melted ice means a smoother trip.
The only reason that this cruise is even possible is due in small part to the cruise industry.
For now, the Crystal Serenity cruises on alone. It's expected to arrive in Pond Inlet on Sunday. Reporting in Nome, I'm Lauren Frost.
And that's the news from Sandpoint. I'm Marissa Williams, and you're listening to KSDP 8:30 a.m.